Attention listeners, we're excited to announce that AfterSight will be moving to our new office on March 26th. As we make this transition, our services will be down most of the day. We apologize for any inconvenience, but truly appreciate your understanding as we start this new chapter. Thank you for listening to AfterSight.
You're listening to an AINC original podcast. We believe you don't have to do life without a compass. Let us be your guide on this amazing journey. Welcome to Navigating Life with Vision Loss.
Hello, this is Kim Wardlow. I'm your host for NLVL. Today's episode is going to focus on family gatherings. And we have all sorts of holidays coming up, Thanksgiving, Christmas, obviously, Hanukkah, solstice, Kwanzaa. There may be other New Year's and other holidays that I'm missing, but whatever those gatherings are, they can be wonderful and joyful, and sometimes they can also be stressful. So we're going to talk about that today with Bill Lundgren, who is the host of AfterSight's podcast, Blindsight. And he is a licensed psychotherapist and so has lots of experience in helping folks with different issues they may have surrounding dealing with their families. And especially for those that have vision loss, Bill does happen to be blind himself. So, Bill, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I tell people I'm a psycho. I shorten psychotherapy to psycho. it's amazing how many people take it seriously. But anyway, yeah, it's a delight to be on your program and have somebody else do all the work with the questions and so forth.
There you go. Well, Bill, do you want to just share, for folks that may not be familiar with Blindsight, just share a little bit about what your podcast covers?
Well, Blindsight is a program that's focused on mental health, and of which being with our family certainly can be a mental health issue. We've had various guests, plus we talk about different situations which people face, because we don't just talk about mental illness, we talk about how to take care of ourselves for good mental health. Mm-hmm. So it's broad range.
That's great. Well, so, yes. So highly recommend if you have interest to listen to Blindsight as well.
I hope you do.
Let's dive into... Yeah, let's dive into the holidays and dealing with family. I know some folks that don't deal with their birth families at all. They deal with they have holiday celebrations with their chosen family, friends and chosen family. Yeah. But if we are getting together with our family, what has your experience been like with family gatherings? I know everybody has different experiences.
It varies. I had a small family, which made it a little easier. But one of the things for me was the question of holiday gathering and bringing home, bringing a boyfriend to my mother's home. And she had a little bit of difficulty with that, and one time said, well, we don't have any room because your two nieces are bringing their boyfriends. And I said, there's something wrong with this picture. And so I just excused myself from the gathering, said I wouldn't be able to make it. And a couple of days later, I got a call from my mother, said, oh, we can make room. And that settled it forever. We never had that issue again. But family situations are not always that easy to resolve. And one of the things you find with family gatherings, even though we're, you know, there may be adults now, it's all that behavioral interaction that we grew up with come to the fore. And that what often causes problems in family gatherings because, you know, you have, let's say you have siblings who really didn't like each other when they were kids. And unless they've had some rapprochement, they continue to dislike each other, even though they haven't lived with each other for years. And or we have a situation, for example, if you were blind all your life and certain family members tried to be the caretaker and took over for you and even, as I say about caretakers, chew your dinner for you, when you come in as an independent person, some of that stuff will still come up. And there's going to be a temptation to, in a sense, regress. That is, your response may be very angry, maybe, you know, or their response can be very angry. And that's what makes the family get-together so problematic. Or a parent is regressing in a noticeable way, which can be making very frightening for you to be there when you see that mom isn't the mom that she was at the time, you know, when you were growing up, or you see dad has developed a some kind of dementia, and you're wondering, what the heck do I do? And you have family members who might at the same time try to pretend nothing's changed. And so, you know, you're going to feel, be in a situation where you feel a little crazy because you're observing this and nobody else is talking about it. There's, you know, that elephant in the room. Or even more, the presence of alcohol at a family gathering. And that can be the elephant in the room, particularly if the holiday, as is frequently the case, the holiday time is where everybody drinks to excess, as much to cover up some of their feelings or to get through the dinner or through whatever the activity is. And what happens with alcohol, of course, as everybody knows, it anesthetizes the frontal lobe of the brain, which is where our inhibitions are. And so people may say things that under the influence that they wouldn't say normally. So you have all those family dynamics that have generated thousands of movies and TV shows to show the worst aspect of the family. And you might even be surprised to get there and find everybody's in a good shape, loving each other with no acrimony. And you're saying, is this my family?
Can be a good surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's break down some of those situations a little bit of how some practical tips of how folks can deal with that. You know, you were talking about, you know, if you how it's easy, and I've seen this. My family was really small. I'm an only child, but I've seen it with other more extended family or friends that they're kind of one person, and then they get back into their family, you know, for a gathering, and all of a sudden, it's just like they were all kids. Everybody reassumes their role that they had.
They're like 12,
when they were
12
a child.
Years old again.
And, yeah, and yet, in reality, if the kids are all adults now, you know, there are things that may have changed. So how do you deal with that if you feel like you're being tugged back into a role that maybe you really don't want to be in any longer?
Well, one of the things I was thinking about, and I'll tell you as a therapist, it was after Christmas that I would get a lot of new clients because they would have had family things they had to deal with And, you know, it's like everybody that, you know, I went to, you know, and this is what happened and so forth. And so it's like part of the schedule of being a therapist. But one of the things I've asked people to do is if they think that may be the case, to take some time before they go to the party. And this can be family gathering, any kind of party, to think about the people who are going to be there and your reaction to those people and the path. If you're going with a spouse or a partner, you can even, and the partner or spouse has been to those parties and may give a third person view of these people, go over that information and kind of prepare, okay, if this happens, what are going to be the signs within me? Or maybe my partner can poke me in the ribs and remind me to take a deep breath and change the dynamics. Because the dynamics are between two people, and you have the power to change the dynamics or to get out of the picture. But if you think about it before you go to the party, say, well, Uncle John is going to be there, and this has happened in the past. So this time, how can I prepare myself to deal with that? How can I, when I start feeling like I'm 12 years old, am I able to step back and check that out? How am I feeling right now? In fact, it's very important all through a party like that is to check out with yourself, how am I feeling right now? Because your feelings will validate, I'm feeling like a 12-year-old. How do I change that? And if you talk about it and think about it before you go, it'll be easier to do, especially if you're looking for the telltale signs. And further, if you also find, oh, none of this is happening, so you can drop, you know, you can say, well, that rehearsal was unnecessary. Well, it was very necessary in case, you know, like a break
class. In case, yeah.
In case of emergency, break class and use this plan that you've made up.
Right. Yeah. And then if you don't need it, then that's great. You can just enjoy the holiday. What if it's kind of the other situation where you're coming in and maybe it's like you said, it is the parents who are seeing some change, whether mm-hmm. that's memory loss or you know, other physical issues. It may be a family member that's losing vision or hearing or something like that. And that can be complicated, too, if there are some of the children that live closer and are kind of seeing this happen gradually, and then those coming in that this is, you know, maybe new, well, or that, maybe their sibling has told them, but they haven't witnessed it themselves.
Right, right. And see, that's the thing. Someone who's been living with it, watching it, nearby, have kind of gotten accustomed to it. But you all of a sudden are put in this and you notice this and they haven't said anything to you about it. That's pretty disconcerting. And again, it's a matter, I don't know why people have such difficulty to give themselves time out at a party or a gathering with the family and just excuse themselves and go to the bathroom, you know, put some water on your face, and then think about what you're feeling and give yourself some time to process it without anybody being involved. And then you can decide what you want to do in this situation. I think Dad is losing his memory. What can I do about it? Well, a lot of times you can't do anything about it. And in fact, mm-hmm. You're going to feel uncomfortable saying in front of your father, you're losing your mind. And that's not exactly a way to win popularity at a party. But if you can just say to yourself,
it might,
yeah.
It might not be the phrasing you want to use.
But you may want to check out with someone, you know, take someone else in the family aside and just check out with them and say, you know, am I noticing this? And it's okay to tell me. And then, you know, and we'll talk more about it. I just want to double check what I'm experiencing. I want to have a validation that I'm not losing my mind. And just say, this is what I'm observing. Is this what you've seen? Yeah. Oh, yeah, Dad is. We didn't want to tell you because it would upset you. Well, I didn't want to know about it at this party, but the point is to say, okay, this is what I'm experiencing. It's okay. There isn't anything that I can do about it at the party. That's the other thing. You know, we get into this with everything from politics to worry about a family member. We want to solve the problem right then and there, and that's not the environment. You may have to talk to other family members after the party about what you observed. But right there, all you can do is go with the flow, be gracious, and just since the family rule has been not to talk about it, okay, you won't talk about it, but just observe and not enable the way. But just, you know, be very gentle. And remember that you can't change what's happening. Only the person can change what's happening, but you're observing it, and you can change your behavior to be supportive and comforting or whatever to that family member.
Right.
And that's your present.
Right. Being present. Well, let's move on to a situation where maybe I'm the person coming into the family gathering, and I've lost some vision. It's different. People may not be sure how to react to me. If they haven't seen me, they may not understand what level of vision loss I have. So going into a family gathering, when you are the person who's had a change in your vision, or maybe you had some low vision, but you've lost some additional vision, and just trying to navigate that and people's reactions.
Yeah. You know, that's a tricky one because you don't know what they know, and at 10 to 1, they know probably far worse than you actually are. And I'll tell you, not everybody can do it, but what I've used is just a little bit of humor. Help to if you show people that you're comfortable with the change, that you've adapted to it, they're looking for cues from you. So if you're comfortable with it and be able to say, when somebody says over here, you can say, I used to know where over here was, but I don't anymore. So could you, explain exactly where it is. In other words, just spell it out a little bit without embarrassment. And they will pick up the cue. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot that or whatever. Then their tension is going to be reduced. And I think in a sense, as much as I hate to admit it, part of my job as a person with blindness is that I have to do some extra things to help other people feel comfortable with my blindness. And sometimes when you, and one of the things is if you're in an environment that you're not familiar with, to talk to people about, and I have a little trouble knowing where the punch bowl is. Would you take me over there? And this is when I do some education with people, say, what I need to do is take your elbow. And if we're in a narrow spot, will you move your arm behind you so I'll know to walk directly behind you? Or you come in with a guide dog, That's even better because everybody loves the guide dog. They won't remember your name, but they always remember the dog's name. So the tension is off. And many times with a guide dog, because they want to ooh and ah about the dog, then you have to teach them about not petting the dog, not, you know, feeding the dog or whatever.
Right.
But there's a lot of things in a lot of ways. I think one of the things that can help you is to understand you have to educate. As much as we don't want to do it, we like people just know, they don't. And sometimes, and it's okay to say, I don't know what you're pointing to. You say is over there. Where is there? Can you take me over there? And here's how you do it. And in that way, you're teaching them. And as you teach them, and as you show that you're comfortable with the situation, their tension will be relieved, and they might even start asking you questions. And you can decide how much you want to talk about your vision loss. Some people say, "Well, you know, it's I've got it, and you know, let's talk about something else." You know, you have to, in a way, you have to be comfortable with your vision loss to help other people feel comfortable, or at least show some kind of comfortability with it. And your vision loss may be so new that you haven't quite mastered it. That's okay. Then you can ask people, because people in general tend to be caretakers, in my experience. So if you tell them what you need, they're going to help.
And sometimes you have the person, and especially within your family, people that want to take care of you. You could have a person that wants to take care of you a little bit too much.
Right.
You need to communicate that as well.
And you have to set the boundaries and say, okay, I'm okay. Or you don't have to do that for me. I appreciate it, but I'm comfortable enough with it that I'm able to do X, Y, Z. And then they are remember, they're taking the cue from you. If you're nervous about it, they're going to be nervous. But if you're assured with it, then they're going to have to put their nervousness in the background. And I know that's difficult to say, and it's also kind of complicated because it depends on where you are at this point. Again, rehearsing before you go, because you know what people are going to do. You can pretty well guess Pardon?
I was going to say, and that can change from year to year. If you're, maybe you see people more than just once a year, but if you've seen them at the holidays and your vision loss is fairly recent, and then the next time you see them, you've gone through some O&M training or other types of training, things you may have asked them to help you with, you may not need that help anymore, or you might need a slightly different, different help or less. Less help. So it can be something that you have to re-communicate if your abilities are changing.
And
too.
You also see, one of the things that I know I've experienced and other people have, and when they've been to a training center and they've gotten all this education and they're being told, be independent and so forth and so on. You're newly out of there, I know in my case, anybody helping me was like, they were committing treason with me. You know, it was just like, no, I'm going to do this myself. That's going all the way to the other extreme. But you have to just say, okay, now wait a minute. What do I really need at this moment? Do I need somebody to help me, or would I prefer to do it on my own? And, I think I want to do it on my own, see how it is. If I run into trouble, I know people are here to help me. But we don't have to be all or nothing about this, particularly around helpfulness, because people will be helpful with those who have full vision. You know, if somebody needs it.
Sure.
And they ask. And just because you have vision loss doesn't mean what some people think, automatically you need help. But it also means that you can make some decisions. How much will I have somebody help me? And I will have to set the boundaries. And I have to be gracious in setting the boundaries. Even saying, you know, I'm learning how to do this by myself is a great way of saying, look, I'm still in the process. And we always are. We always are in process of learning because we get into so many different situations that no amount of training has prepared us for. And right. So we say, okay. Well,
I'm thinking about, too, as a person, if you're now experiencing holiday traditions, holiday celebrations in a slightly different way, if you've lost vision, like, for example, I have a friend his family every year goes to the Parade of Lights here in Denver. And there's sound to that, obviously, you know, there's bands and things, but it's also very visual. And there may be other things, even just decorations in the home or other things where you're experiencing the holidays a little and your gatherings just a little bit differently. And so, and some of that's maybe more of an internal thing that you're dealing with, but what kind of advice would you give to folks who get there and all of a sudden they're like, oh, it's just not the same.
Well, and I think we have to accept that it's not the same. However, if it's someone who once had vision, having someone explain, that's why we have audio description in the theater. We describe what's happening on stage, and you can't see it, but the words of saying, describing what's happened, you fill in the blank with your brain. Remember, even though we've lost sight, we haven't lost the brain power. And we can, if we can picture in our mind a parade, or I have an art collection, which I keep in my home, and I remember what those pieces looked like when I bought them years ago, and I share them with other people. And something new, and somebody gives me a piece of art, and they describe to me what it looks like, then I can visualize in my mind what I think it looks like. It may not look like the actual thing, but I had the pleasure of imagining, oh, this is how it looks. And this is what the person pointed out to me, that this person was looking a certain way, and I can visualize in my mind. So that's one of the ways that people, the person who wants to be the caretaker, can do something that'd be really helpful to us in explaining what's going on. Because nothing worse than standing there in a parade and not having the slightest clue as to what's going on.
Yes. Some families have traditions of like new ornaments or something like that, and just you being able to describe what's happening, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have to know how to make it clear to us.
Or even, you know, wow, you know, the table decoration is so beautiful, and you know, describing that. So
yeah, and then they can say
it's just important.
Yeah, and you say, well, how did so and so make the table so beautiful? Well, these flowers were over here, and this is what, you know, what was done, and say, oh, that sounds great. And because if you're engaged with your brain, then you're still getting enjoyment. It's when your brain isn't being.
And I think that's a key, that even though there may be changes or challenges, whether it's yourself or another family member, that there's still ways to find enjoyment in your gatherings, right. And in the holidays.
I think
while still taking care of yourself.
Yeah, but I think one of the important things here is that having a vision loss means that you're taking on a challenge. And that challenge can either be daunting or awful, or you can use it to say, challenge, I'm going to challenge myself to enjoy X experience or do something that I used to depending on my sight for. I'm going to try it anyway. And I have a friend of mine who's a chef, not professionally, but I mean a wonderful French chef. And when she went to the school for the learning center, she was in my class, and she was wearing sleep shades. She was cooking in the kitchen and said, you know, I realize how little I use my eyes in my cooking. It was a revelation because she just assumed she had to look at everything, but she was doing the same kind of cooking that she's always done, but she was realizing that her other senses were providing her with all the information she needed and that her eyes were just adding on to it and weren't necessary to the pleasure of cooking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sometimes you get a good surprise like that.
Mm-hmm.
You experience things in a different way.
Yes.
But it's still enjoyable.
Right. And I know I'm totally blind, but I depend on my fingers, you know, like Helen Keller, I guess, on my sense of touch or paying attention to the pavement that I'm walking on to know where I'm going and to all of those other sensations, including hearing, are telling me a lot of things that I just took for granted because I also had eyesight. But now that I don't have it, I realize how much they contributed to the experience that I'm having. And, you know, for example, somebody who's used to going to a play may be tired of the audio description, so you go to the orchestra. And so you change what you're into to meet the senses that you have to give you the enjoyment that you're looking for.
Somewhat about being flexible and adapting to what you need. Well, Bill, thank you so much for joining us. We've covered a lot of different subtopics about dealing with family gatherings. But I appreciate you sharing your information, and I know you'll be joining us again a little bit later on in our series as well.
Looking forward to it. Thank you for having me on.
Sure. And just a reminder, folks, tune in to Bill's podcast, Blind Sight, and you'll get more insight into various topics related to mental health. I just want to remind you also, if you're enjoying this program or any of our other podcasts, that it would be great if you're able to provide a donation to help support us to keep providing you this free information. We are a participant in Colorado Gives Day, which is coming up in December, but you can make your schedule your donations early. So if you go to ColoradoGivesDay.org and look for AfterSight, we would appreciate any donation you may be able to give at this time and help to keep these services as well as some of our other offerings of virtual book clubs and white canes and things going as well. You can also subscribe if you would like to do that to our programs as well. Thanks for listening, and I hope that the information we've provided to you today has helped you to navigate your life with vision loss.